and welcome to the Brand Strategy Podcast, a show created to equip you with the inspiration, encouragement, and clarity you need to build the brand of your dreams. I'm your host, Bonnie Bakhtiari, brand designer, strategist, and founder of The Illume Retreat. From sustainable strategy to heartfelt encouragement, each episode is designed to equip you with the tools you need to chase after your dreams. Because you deserve a brand that empowers you to do what you love, connects with your dream clients, and offers a deep sense of fulfillment along the way. So grab a cup of coffee and join me on this journey, won't you? Friends, I'm so excited to welcome you to today's episode of the Brand Strategy Podcast, where I am just over the moon to be introducing you to my sweet friend, Ashlyn Carter. If you have not had the opportunity to get to know Ashlyn before, I promise you, you're going to love her. And today, we're really going to be talking about how to build a brand from a place of rest, not hustle. Now, Ashlyn is a conversion copywriter and a marketing strategist who specializes in wedding and creative industries. The cool thing about her is she left her background in Fortune 500 clients in the corporate industry to bring in more than seven figures in her own business, writing for creatives like Jenna Kutcher and Hillary Rushford, Laura Casey at the Cultivate What Matters team, and so many more. Honestly, she is a master at crafting launch funnels for her clients that are wildly profitable, even to the tune of over $500,000. Ashlyn is based in Atlanta, where she lives with her sweet husband and their precious baby boy, and she and I both share a small obsession with weekly margs and tacos. Now, Ashlyn, you and I met years ago when you were an attendee at my 2015 Illume Retreat. I think it was 2015. Now, if I remember correctly, you were just getting started. You were starting to kind of dip your toes in the waters of entrepreneurship. And honestly, it's been amazing to watch your journey over the years and kind of get to meet you at that sweet, beautiful moment in your life and your journey, and then see how you've grown. But for our friends who are just getting the chance to know you, I would love to hear, how did you first start your business and what has that journey looked like for you?
Yes. Well, thank you so much for your sweet and kind words. You saw me in the early days of how hard did I fangirl when I first talked to you? I know I was like really nervous to talk to anybody there. I was so new. I always tell people too, Illume was the first big investment I made in my business. Huge investment. I remember calling my husband from my corporate job. I still hadn't left yet when you put tickets up for sale. And I walked outside. I was like, Wes, can I spend this amount of money on a creative conference? And at that point, I'll get into it, but I was coming off of some stuff in my life. And I think he was just like, you know what? Go for it. Let's do it. So Illume really did. I know I'll talk about it more as we chat today. It just started me on the right track. To answer your question, how I got started in business, I studied marketing in college, was a journalism major. I always knew that this is what I wanted to do. I loved writing. I loved marketing. I loved selling. I never had any questions about what I wanted to do. And so I got into the world in Atlanta and loved it. I was an agency in corporate life. It felt like Disney World to me. I worked at some incredible, incredible workplaces. And I, though, was addicted to work. I know that my conversation will meander this way, but I think you grow into your own advice, and I'm still learning how to balance really loving work, but also putting it in its correct spot. So long story short, I did end up going into partial hospitalization for anxiety, depression, and an eating disorder, a lot related to the fact that I never knew when to stop work. I just wanted more and more and more of it, and that was not healthy for me, and it was... during that time, I was doing calligraphy when I went home from my day job, and I just started to realize this was not going to be a sustainable way to do life. And about that time, I realized there was this whole ecosystem of creative entrepreneurial women out there, women who liked their job, worked for themselves, and made money doing it. And it was extremely attractive to me. I had no idea. I remember, I'm sure like listeners probably had that moment too, where it's like you go down this Instagram rabbit hole where all of a sudden you're like, wait, what? Like this is a thing and multiple people do it. And yeah, that's what happened. And that's what led me to you. So that's a really condensed version of how I fell into the world entirely.
Well, honestly, I'm just so grateful that you took a leap and joined me and the incredible speaking team at Illum all those years ago. I've been an attendee at conferences and workshops, and I've been in seasons where, you know, hitting purchase on that ticket or saving my seat, it can be scary. It can be intimidating.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of unknown, and you never know what you're going to expect or, you know, am I going to make friends? Am I going to learn good things? And especially coming out of such a heavy season personally, and then going into something like that, I never every time I hear you share that story, I always am so honored and humbled that you felt safe enough to to Illum and to, you know, kind of go through that experience with me and with my speakers. And always so grateful to Wes that he, you know, was that sweet
man. Bless him. Bless his sweetheart. But yeah, I mean, I feel like people have asked me before, like, were you scared to start your business? Were you intimidated? And like, no, I wasn't, because I just had gone through hell and back. Like I was hungry for a change. I did not want to keep living life like I had been. I was going to bet on myself. I knew I was scrappy enough to figure out something, but I just wanted out of the world that I had been living in, like a world made by my own trappings, of course. But I went to Illum so hungry for this entrepreneur thing, this business thing. I didn't know what it was going to really look like, and relied on all of you ladies to kind of help me shape that. But I wasn't afraid. I just wanted a change.
Yeah. I think that's so self-aware of you too, to be able to look back on that experience and to say, I wasn't afraid to take that leap because my priorities were in alignment. And I think that just in my own experience of, as some listeners might know, earlier this year, my husband Armand had a emergency brain surgery, and thankfully he is recovering so beautifully and doing so well. But when you have, you know, kind of big life moments like that, it really does kind of shift your perspective and the things that, you know, you used to stress about, like, you know, what are people doing on Instagram or algorithm or, you know, stuff like that. You just kind of, it just falls by the wayside and it's not so important anymore. So all of that to say, I know that one of the big, I almost think of it as like a mantra of your business. It's such a big, beautiful message that I really do feel like you've built your brand upon. And that's this idea of empowering others to live from a place of rest instead of hustle. Mm-hmm. And I love that. It gives my heart all the happy feels. But I really want to know, like, how did you come across that concept? And how did that light bulb moment really look for you when you discovered that you could live that way, but that also you could show others how to live that way?
Well, I was praying for, I'm just kidding. I was praying for the words and then it dropped in my lap. That is not what happened. I was text messaging with one of my girlfriends, Taylor, and we were both in a spot of like trying to figure out how we could be women that were for work, that loved work and loved just being able to use the gifts and the things that we were good at to help people, but also like put boundaries on that. And she said one time, she was like, I just know it's possible to work from a place of more rest. And that was a text message that she sent me. And she just kind of said it in passing, but it stuck hard with me because I was going in this season where I'd just come from, you know, a place where I had a boss. I remember telling my boss, please can I have Sundays off? Like I really just need one day to not answer my phone. Like, right? Like a normal question. And she told me, you studied and majored in the wrong thing because that's not going to happen as a publicist. And I remember it, like, that hit me and I was like, but that's wrong. Like, that's not how we were designed. We're just, you know, like our cell phones have to go into the wall. We do too. Like we have to get plugged and charged in. And, So I think again, like coming off this, maybe I just had a chip on my shoulder where I was like, that is wrong. That is not right. So when Taylor said this to me, it clicked. And I too, as I was coming into this creative world, I was just seeing the hustle culture, like be cool. And don't get me wrong, like there's a time and a place for hustle. Building a small business takes a heck of a lot of hustle. It's a good thing, but it's my go-to tendency. And so I just started to, the piece is kind of, like, I didn't know that I had hit on because I get people will letter it and send it to me. Like, I didn't know that I was creating a phrase that was like quotable. And I just wanted change so badly. And so I started saying that, and it did become more and more woven into my business. So, and I know it's probably interesting to you from like a brand strategist standpoint, but what happened is I started to realize how this message, this phrase, how was I going to tie that into what my students know I call your onlyness factor, like my unique value proposition, but then how was I also going to tie it to my services and my offerings? And the more I started to kind of step back and look at how does this core belief of my business and my core values relate to the services I provide. And what I had to look at it a while, but then I started to see if I do my job as a copywriter, I'm taking that hustle away and I'm putting the weight on the words to do the selling so you can do your own thing. Or I'm taking the copy off of a client's plate so they can do their thing. So whether the words are doing it or I'm doing it, that's just my hope and my prayer for my business that it helps people step away from the constant 24/7 hustle and striving and more and more and more that the world tells us that we need. So that's kind of how I've seen them correlate and fit. It's come together over time. It definitely was not like an overnight click.
Oh, I love that. And I love how you talk about your services really coming into your clients' lives in order to help them really focus their energy on more of what matters, maybe more of where they shine brightest, you know, yep. Kind of taking that burden in some instances, you know, kind of away and allowing them to, you know, really move forward with either working with you through your custom services, or if maybe they've gone through your course, Copywriting for Creatives, teaching them, like literally giving them the tools they need in order to make writing words and selling their services or selling their products. Yep. Yep. Not hard and not so painful.
Exactly. Because it shouldn't be, those kind of things shouldn't be reserved for like the big dogs and the big guns. And that's like when I moved into the creative world and started seeing, you know, these things I'd done for airline businesses and banks, like we're just as worthy for the creative small business, but we don't have the budget. We don't have anywhere near those kind of budgets. So how do you help somebody whose budget is $0? How do you help somebody who's a little bit higher and so on and so forth from there? But I think like, I don't know, good sales should feel good and it should pull the weight off of the hustle.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. So something you said a minute ago was that you were kind of talking about how you have really seen this heart for creating from a place of rest, you know, kind of operating from this space of rest, not hustle. Really just being something that's kind of grown for you over the years. Yeah. So as it's grown, just in my own experience with growing my brand and really honing my services and my messaging over the years, and then obviously doing the same for my clients, I've seen just such a journey, such a trajectory. But in your life, in your business, I feel like you've gone through so much growth over the past few years. You've really gone from, I just remember, you know, at a Loom, you had so many bright, beautiful questions. You were, you know, kind of figuring out how your skills and your heart could come together into services that people would pay money for. And right. I've seen you, like, you just went home, hit the ground running, and you just made it happen. And you've just kind of gone, in my mind, you've just kind of like gone up and up and up from there. But how has that growth, kind of that explosive growth that to me, you know, from what I see kind of feels explosive. Yeah. How has it looked on the inside, building a brand that sustains the growth, but still supports that message.
I love it. It's been so unbelievably messy. And I think that I have a nanny who takes care of our little boy, and she is interested in starting a creative business. She's downstairs right now as we're recording. And she, you know, like she's seen me at this year three, and she was asking like some questions. And the more I taught, she was like, what? Like, no, you didn't. And I was like, oh no, I did that. Like, it was bad. Like just all these mistakes I've made along the way. And just like it's been I think we forget that sometimes we look at we're seeing the outside of a business and its trajectory and how it's grown. But like just from the inside, it has been a whirlwind of like, well, let's try this, you know, like let's throw this spaghetti at the wall and see what fits. I do think I have a knack at figuring out I think it just comes from an obsession and a passion with figuring out where a gap is in the market and trying to fill it. It's how I started my business. I saw a lot of success from it. So now I even try to do that with like products and things that I create. And so while yes, that has helped me, it's been all along the way trying to figure it out. As far as kind of what you alluded to, somebody once told me that you grow into your own advice. And I've seen that. I still battle like wanting to work all of the time and dealing with anxiety still, and learning that I've got to take a, you know, harrowingly untasty spoonful of my own medicine at times and just kind of figure out like, you know, we know, Ashlyn, what goes on if you go down that path, and it's not a very healthy place for you. So like that kind of helps keep me in check and, you know, not constantly grind, because that would not be sustainable. But I mean, I could talk about the mistakes I've made, Bonnie, all day. I think I was trying to, when I was at a loom, and I did it successfully for a while, to fit two pretty different services under one brand, calligraphy and copywriting. That's why I wanted to do the creative world, because I did calligraphy. That was my moonlight job. So when I got into this world, like I knew how to book a bride. Like that's what I had done. And so it was a natural fit, but it wasn't until this is the first year I've stopped like taking clients. I stopped advertising. I was taking clients in 2018, but that was a trust leap. And I think that was something I could have done a lot earlier, but it was a safety blanket. It felt good. Like I knew I could count on that as a source of revenue, but I've had to, you know, make the bumpy errors of realizing that maybe my time is not best spent there. I want to be the visionary of the business, and I want to see what's out there and what we can do, and bring a team of women under me that can help us achieve those goals. And we're not going to be able to do that if Ashlyn's doing 50 envelopes and, you know, at 2 a.m. So had to learn these along the way for sure.
Right. I love that you spoke to how you have really kind of taken a service offering off your plate also, because yeah. I think that we live and operate in an industry that's constantly telling us to do more to, you know, diversify your offerings, to add more services, to just do more, whether it's like what you're actually offering or how you're marketing yourself. You know, you have to be on all the platforms and start a podcast and start a YouTube channel and all the things. It's really, it can feel overwhelming. And I talk to a lot of women, not only at Alloom, but in my group coaching program, even my branding clients, who they feel the pressure of that. They feel like pulled in all these different directions to do more. But I think that more and more we're starting to see that kind of unhealthy pull towards doing all the things, spreading yourself super thin, going in a million different directions, can actually unintentionally keep you from moving towards your definition of success.
Yep.
So I love that, like, you took the leap. You took something away that was a big part of your story and how you got started. It's something that I know you love it. I know that there's a passion for it.
But it's not. Yeah. I think I'll even look at some of my students, like website, you know, because I really try to help figure out like their positioning and who they are. And we take that and build their voice and their website copy on top of that. But I'll look at what they do, and it's like, I do coaching and strategy and design, and I also do content, right? You know, it's like all these things. And 100%, like, take a Pinterest scroll and you feel like you have to be doing all of those things for clients. Like, who are you if you don't? Like, are you a real expert if you don't? And that is just, man, it's the generalists are not in my from my vantage point, generalists are not the ones getting hired at the pace that specialists are. I think that when you are able to specifically say, I do this and only this, like, and sure, if you want to take on work beyond that, that comes your way, that's absolutely your prerogative. But just putting your stake in the ground and saying who you are and who you're for, I just really think there's a lot of like boldness and power to that. And I remember hearing that at first on, before I took that leap to quit my job, hearing that on podcast and being like, what do they know? Like, come on, I could write for magazines, I could write for blogs, like I could do all of these things. But the truth is, when I got really, when I stopped being a generalist and became a specialist, we saw a lot of growth. I feel like I was going to say something else related to this. I'll think of it in a minute.
It'll come back to you.
Yeah, it always does, right? It boomerangs right back.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that, you know, kind of to piggyback off of what you were saying, when we're first getting started, because when I first started my business, I was taking on like any and all projects. I was still doing, so I started doing wedding invitations and printable save the dates and had a little Etsy shop and everything. And it wasn't until a few months later that brand design and strategy really came into that. And that's ironically what stuck. But I remember like starting my own business and hearing like, okay, so the experts, you know, I'm going to like use air quotes here, the experts, whoever the experts are telling me that I need to niche down and I need to only do this small group of services. But to me as a new business owner, that felt intimidating because I felt like I was limiting my ability to bring in more income and help, you know, provide for my husband and I. But now like just seeing how I was unintentionally dividing my time and energy between totally different offerings, totally different services, totally different ideal client profiles that did not really go together. It was just like, I was trying to pull myself in all these different directions. And so I couldn't take one step forward in the direction I really wanted to go when I was trying to do this like awkward limbo kind of thing.
Yeah. It's that like, the one thing by Gary Keller, like that whole concept of like, yeah, chase two rabbits, catch none. It's just not gonna, it's, I don't know. It's just, there's power and yes, it's a risk, but man, it feels really good when you hit it.
Absolutely. Okay. So for people who they're hearing you talk about this idea of living a life, building a business that allows them to operate from a place of rest and not the constant hustle, they're getting excited about it. And they're like, okay, Ashlyn, how do I do this? What do I do? What's my step? Where should they begin?
Yeah, I think it comes back to, for me, like I always want to, and I know we're both, I would use the word disciples, but that feels like sacrilegious. We both love Shanna Skidmore, right? And like we learned how to, I think that working with a financial coach, it can help you see what enough is, like just knowing what you need to go for. And like that, like not to bring it down to money, but I'll put it, okay, just to say, like I'm beating around the bush. I took paid maternity leave from December through March. I was planning on getting pregnant. I think I told you this, Bonnie, at a Loom last year, not as soon as it happened. And so once it did happen, I realized like, wow, I've really got to step into what I say. And if I claim that I want to figure out how to build a business where I can work from a place of rest, not hustle, if I have this baby and then I'm like trying to work and be with this new life, like that's not me. Like that's, I can't do that. So I think I had to get really clear last year on these are our sales goals. Go for it. I got like really shiny objects could not deter me. I was just like head on going towards trying to figure out how to bring in, again, just what was enough. Like I wasn't going towards anything crazy, but I knew what we had to make to pay myself and the team while I was gone. And I think that made me focus. So that's like one thing I would recommend. We've talked about focus a little bit here, but knowing what your enough is and what those numbers actually translate and look like for you, and then like focusing on them, coming down, I mean, kind of watching where your hours go. And I know that I've got to spend time on that because the residual effects, there's no way that I was going to be able to step away from my business and really rest. Like I truly rested those 3 months. I didn't work. I didn't get in my inbox except a couple of times during an affiliate launch. But besides that, I was pulled out. I was with that little boy and it felt really good to do that. Getting back into it was a whole nother story because I felt like, I was like, oh my gosh, the internet world has passed me by because so much changes in 3 months online, but it was totally fine. So that's like the first kind of step. I think that when that light bulb, when I was early in my business and I realized that I could define what my business was going to make. I didn't have to make all these numbers that you hear out there. I think I also had to realize, like get some money mindset situations figured out in my brain and realize that a quote unquote six-figure business wasn't anything that was crazy, to be honest. Like that was a goal that I could go towards because if you break it down, you pull out taxes and you pull out, you know, what your overhead is, that really was kind of a salary that was pretty close to what I was getting. And I knew that to live where we did, to cover all of those medical bills that had just come in from my hospitalization, I had to hit these. You know, I couldn't just quit my job and make a whole lot less. So that was kind of some stuff at the beginning that really helped me figure out how to step away. I think now what that's looked like is setting when I sit down, I have routines for when I sit down at my desk in the morning, when I leave at night. I know that I go through seasons. We just talked about, we did this big affiliate launch Bonnie and I were both a part of. And let me tell you, there was a lot of nights when my husband was at work and Tal was asleep and I came back and popped up in my laptop, but giving myself, you know, knowing this is a season right now and I'll do that. And then I'll go through another few weeks where I will start and end work on time and there's no touching work on the weekends. Those are some little things that have helped me along the way. I hope that hits at what you were talking about.
Absolutely. That's such great advice. And I think that something that I've talked about a lot before is kind of defining what success looks like to you. And I think that's so compatible with this idea of defining enough, because if you know what success looks like to some people, that's 6-7-figure businesses, to some people that's big teams, to others it's just something that, you know, kind of helps, it knocks out the mortgage every month and then it gives them the money where they can go take the kids to Target and have some fun and, you know, buy whatever.
Yes.
It looks different to every single person, and that's why I am just such a big proponent of encouraging people to figure out what that looks like, because that's going to define your trajectory moving forward. I mean, if you're listening to people who are telling you to chase after the 7-figure business, but you don't actually need or want the 7-figure business, then, well, I feel like you're adding a lot of hustle to your plate.
Absolutely.
Robbing yourself of a lot of rest.
Yeah, I love that. I think you're exactly right. And I think too, along the way, I've had to learn, like, give people grace to chase what is there. Like, that's her calling. I was reading in, I'll talk about like some scripture for a minute. There was, I was reading about like Paul and Barnabas in the Bible, and like Paul, everybody knows Paul's name, Paul in the Bible, like he was the big shot, right? But Barnabas was just this constant encourager that was always there. He was super involved in Paul's life, but he never kind of got, like, his calling looked different. They were both going towards the same end goal. But I think that's something, and I say this because I work with a lot of huge clients and I constantly have to tell myself, like, that's not my goal. That, like, good for her. Like, I will help her get there all day, but that's not what enough looks like for me. Enough looks smaller. And I come back to that all the time, like just recentering what I want my life with my little family to look like. And it's going to be different from somebody else's and from hers and from hers. And I love that you brought that up. That's a great point.
Yeah. Well, I love that you kind of spoke to how people can start to do that, you know, defining enough, defining that success, and such a key part of that recipe, give yourself grace, you know, give yourself the grace to have the late nights when you're in a season that require them. Give yourself the grace to take, you know, summer Fridays, to give yourself the grace to do what you need to do. Because I think that we spend so much of our time and so much of our energy trying to build these businesses that it can be way too easy to forget that we're also supposed to be living our lives.
Yeah.
Which is why over and over again, I just keep resonating with this idea of creating a business that allows you to work from a place of rest, not hustle. And that, to me, that looks like this beautiful cycle that, you know, allows you to still chase after your passions, make the money you need to, you know, get any fulfillment that you get from the work that you do, but it's in a way that's pouring back into your life, which is what really matters, right?
Yes. And I think too, it helps me to think like, I'm in this for the long haul. This is not something that I want like to be a flash in the pan and to like rush, 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 rush and get to this point. And then this point, like, no, I want to stick around in this for a while and I want to build something sustainable. And if that looks like a little slower growth, then that looks like slower growth and that's okay. And like you, like, it's funny you mentioned Fridays off. I'm trying to figure out like how to take Fridays off so I can just be in mom world. And I had two coaches that last week were like, okay, so here's how you do that. You just take it off. Like, just don't work on Fridays. That's, you know, like, that's where it's going to have to start for me. And that was a good reminder.
Oh, I love that. And I love that you're thinking about taking Fridays off. That's something that I made a shift to do in my own business a few years ago, where I just take Fridays almost by appointment. And I'm going to let you in on a secret. I just put it in my, my signature, my email signature. I updated my office hours and then I emailed my current clients to let them know about my change in office hours. And that was that.
Oh, that's good. I'm sure none of them came raging back saying, nope. It works. Bonnie, how dare you? Right?
No, I got, you know, so many replies back because I mean, my clients they're just the best people in the world. Yes. Got so many replies that they're like, oh girl, good for you. Like, you take those Fridays off. And I've had just clients too. They're so respectful and so responsive. And that's because you take the time up front to proactively educate those clients about those boundaries and about how you have these steps, these kind of, you know, safe walls in place so that you can serve them best and you can bring your best energy and time and creativity to the table and really serve them in that way. And, you know, I feel like when we come at it from that angle, you know, our ideal clients, they're never going to be mad at us for that. They're never going to fire us over it. They're going to understand and really respect that.
And if anything, oh, that's good, Bonnie. Like I love how you just gave, like, you asked me for some tips and mine were all like esoteric and like, and then you get like straight to the practical. One other good, like to that point, I think we've had to watch in our business because I do have some contractors who work on the weekends and interface with my clients, but it's like, we've had to discuss before, do we want to like send emails on weekends so we can be prompt and get back to them? Or do we want to like really, and that to this point, we've gone the direction of like, we really want to live out what we talk about in YouTube videos and on the internet and like be that brand. And so, no, we are going to like draw a hard line at this, that, and the other. So that's another thing, like figuring out whatever those values are that you're saying and claiming that you have, like, can your clients see that in the way that you're communicating to them and when you're communicating to them?
Absolutely. Such good stuff. This is something that I feel like we've kind of talked about a little bit up until this point. But I do know that when you joined us at Allume those years ago, you know, I could sense, and, you know, we've since talked about it, that you were kind of on the cusp of moving into the full possibility and realizing the full direction that Ashlyn Writes could go. But how would you say that your experience with Allume, has that helped you in your journey? Has that been something that has been kind of, that gave you the space to sort of start this process and kind of learn more about this place of rest, not hustle? I'd love to hear if that's played any role or what that's looked like for you.
Has it helped me, Bonnie? Is Allume like, and okay, just so listeners know, I am not an affiliate for it. I'm just a big believer in Allume. It, again, like I was talking to my nanny about this, I think there was something with the mindset of putting, I think, Bonnie, correct me if I'm wrong, because it was Travassa that year, it was April 2016. I'm pretty sure it was like 4,000.
It was, with travel. Okay. If you're factoring in travel, you were investing heavily. Yeah.
It was, because it was like this super, like it was a spa. It was that number. I just remember thinking like I had the calligraphy clients on the books signed. They weren't in yet. So I did not have like the money in my account. So think what you, like, I have probably a different opinion about like, don't go into debt for your business. I think to an extent, like, to an extent, scared money don't make money kind of thing. And I think that investing taught me like, oh no, I'm going in on this. Like, I think if I, cause I'd done all the free things. I would go stay at the office until everybody had left, and I would use the printer and like print out all the Pinterest freebies and like put them in my binder. Like, I'd been doing the scrappy stuff. So it got to this point where I was like, no, I'm like going to bet on myself. I think I can do this. So once I did that, like, that was a big mindset shift that Allume gave me. And then getting out there and getting in front of people and just asking, kind of just swallowing my pride in that I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I wanted my business to look at like. I was still trying to figure out like the Ashland size hole in the market that I could fit, and being really raw and honest with the educators that you'd brought in about like my problems. We joke about it because Jenna has done it at other Allume experiences, but she said it then and she still says it. She's like, okay, let's just get to it. What's making you cry? Like, I want to see some tears. And that's true, because so many of us, like, building a business is hard freaking work. It is so hard. And yes, we cry. We're women. Yes, we cry over this kind of stuff. And so like bringing that into the Allume space and being like, this is really hard for me. I cannot figure out X, Y, Z. I have no idea this is going to work or this is going to work. So that was probably the second big thing that Allume really unleashed for me. And the third was the connections, which to this day, and by this day, I mean, I was working on one client project today from an Allume client. And I also have been texting with Shanna, who was an educator there, who's now turned into one of my good friends. And Allume put relationships in front of me that I never would have gotten online. I'm a big believer in online education. I'm a big believer of college, like, let's go old school education. Love me some books. Like, I don't think it's the question of like, which one is it right for me? I think we need a healthy diet of all of them. And the in-person element of getting to talk to, form relationships with women who went on to hire me. And I always say too, I owe so much of my business to Jenna Kutcher, who is a client, but she took a chance on me. And I've always said, I want to be that person to somebody that she was to me, where she called me about a month after and she's like, hey, I know you did this for Delta Airlines. Like, would you be interested in helping me with emails? And I was like, I said, yeah, would you trust me? And she said, yeah, like, let's try it. And we did. And I've been working for her ever since. But I want to be that for somebody. And I think that you created this space where women can do that. Like, if you put into Allume, you get in what you put out of it. And it goes for Allume, it goes for any conference. If you show up, if you go all in, you know what I'm about to compare this to? The terrible show, The Bachelorette. But I was watching it last night and like, The Bachelorette, what's her name? Hannah was talking about like, yeah, falling in love on this show is going to be scary. Think what you will about the show. But she also said like, if you don't try, then you're never going to find out. And that's, I think, how conferences and in-person retreats can be too. If you don't show up and get vulnerable and ask the crazy questions and talk to people, then yeah, you're not going to really see what the residual effects and what the value could be on your business. Which for me, they've been, I mean, I can't tell you how many times Allume has paid for itself. And I would have to sit down with the calculator. I cannot figure it out now.
Oh my goodness. My heart is just like overflowing with all of the feelings. It's hugely humbling to hear. And this is a conversation, just in all honesty, that, you know, we've kind of had this, a similar conversation to this effect in the past. And it is humbling every time. And it's an immense honor every single time, because just with the Allume retreat, I kind of joke with people that it's basically my heart spread out over, you know, three retreat experience, where the entire approach is centered on helping you define what success looks like to you and how can we create from a place of truth and what your truth is, what truth looks like to you, so that you have a business that propels you forward and blesses your life without asking you to go through the crazy hustle or to do what everyone else is doing. And I really focus on keeping it intimate so that you can have those hard conversations. You can cry at the dinner table with new friends. You can, you know, really get that opportunity to be just encouraged and lifted up by the women who are around you. And so it's just, it's hugely humbling to hear that that was such a positive experience for you. And I'm ever, ever eternally grateful that you took a chance on my little retreat and joined me there, because now I've been so blessed to have you as a part of my life ever since. Gosh.
Yes. I'm glad you put it out there. I still remember like the outfits I packed, and like I was so I just was so nervous. It's cool to think about. And that wasn't that long ago. Like it just, man, it gave me so much. It did.
Yeah. Well, I think just to be fair, that's kind of like, I kind of say that it's like the first day of school feels. Whenever you go to like a retreat or a workshop, you're always like obsessing over what you're packing, and you're like practicing how you're going to introduce yourself so that you can like instantly like hit it off and make friends.
Oh yeah. I like write down everybody's name that's going to be there, because I can be bad with names, and yeah. Woo. Yeah. Butterflies.
Oh, I love it. Memory lane. Yes. What encouragement would you share to someone who is dreaming of working from this place of rest, not hustle, this beautiful vision that you've created and that you've shared with others? They're excited about the idea. They want to make it happen, but they're scared to take that leap.
Got it. Okay. I would ask, what would you do if you were the best? If you were the best one at whatever it is that you want to do, what would you do? Because I'm guessing you would, I think sometimes when we like overwork and we overreach, it's coming from a scarcity mentality of like, we're going to get beat. We're going to get bought out. We're going to get, she's going to come along and then she's going to offer that. And they're all going to eat me out of all of the competition that I may have, you know, whatever. I think like if you take it from a place of like, what would you build if you were the best? And just journal through that. I think like that's been something I've been thinking about lately. Like the things I think about when I come at it from that angle, as opposed to like, I don't know. That kind of takes me back and humbles me a little bit to make me think, I don't have to keep striving. I can just rest in like my work is enough, and it is good work, and it serves people, and it serves the right people. I don't know. That's an exercise that I've been working through, and I kind of wish somebody had told me that earlier, because I did have a lot of fear and worry that I was going to get swallowed up. You know, and so I think that some of my striving mentality that lingered over from corporate days found its match in realizing there was like this comparisonitis of, you know, the Instagram scroll or whatever. So that's the encouragement. What would you do if you were the best and build a business that reflects that?
I really love that advice, because I think honestly, that's something that I'm going to like incorporate into my own reflection. And I just kind of want to give myself the chance to kind of just like freely write through that prompt too. But I think that when I think about the kinds of choices that people who are true leaders in their industry, true experts at their craft, mm-hmm. people who in a lot of ways have become the best in certain things, mm-hmm. the way that they operate and the way that they make choices, like you're saying, they're not worried about the fear. They're not, mm-hmm. I mean, they're probably, to be fair, they're probably feeling the fear, but they're still doing
true.
It.
True. Let's be fair. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, they're human, yeah. But they aren't getting caught up in the fear, the scarcity, the comparison, right. the insecurity in the way that we are, and that we unintentionally, you know, kind of put ourselves in these boxes when we always like put other people up on pedestals and put ourselves like down as low as possible. Yeah. Because we think like, yeah, she's so great. She's so talented. I could never do that. I'm not right. there yet, you know?
So if I want to get anywhere near that, I have to work 24/7. I have to work on weekends. I can never take any days off. Like that's not it either. Yeah.
Absolutely not. I think that sharing that question of like, what, you know, if you were the best, how would you build your business? What would that look like? You know, how would you operate from that place? That gives everyone a lot of permission to just chase yes. after what they really want, and to take the Fridays off, you know?
Take the Fridays off. Yeah. Yeah. Like chase after it with full abandon, but but rest, because it's going to be good enough if you work really hard at it. Yeah,
absolutely. Ashlyn, I love that. This has been such an amazing conversation, and I could probably just sit here and go over all this with you all
after me with Bonnie, and I could go forever, but
well, I would love to know, where can people find you? I'm sure that, you know, everyone who's been listening to this, they are becoming rapidly as obsessed with you as I am. And so I would love for them to be able to connect with you, wherever they can.
Yes. My internet home is ashlynwrites.com, and my Instagram handle is Ashlyn S. Carter, and that's where I hang out.
Awesome. Ashlyn, thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing so much of your wisdom and so much of your heart with us. It's been incredible to get to really dive into how you built this brand that allows you to operate from this place of rest and how you use it to empower others to do the same. So thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thanks for having me on.
And thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of the Brand Strategy Podcast. Before you go, my sweet friend Ashlyn has created a really fun freebie just for you. If you are wondering how your personality impacts your brand voice and how you can take that voice and allow it to help you create a truly intentional and elevated brand, then you have to head to brandstrategypodcast.com, click on the show notes for today's episode, and take the super fun free quiz that Ashlyn has created especially for you. And if you've been tuning into today's episode and you want to learn more about the Loom Retreat, then I want to take this chance to invite you to join me at our October 2019 retreat here in beautiful Waco. You can head to the show notes for today's episode to get all the details, or you can go straight to alloomretreat.com for everything you need to know. As always, friend, I am so grateful for you, and I am cheering you on from Waco. Thank you so much for joining me today, friend. Before you go, I would be so grateful to receive your feedback on the Brand Strategy Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, or the podcast in general has helped you grow your brand, I'd really appreciate it if you left us a review in iTunes. Your positive reviews enable the Brand Strategy Podcast to continue to grow and reach like-minded creatives just like you. Plus, I'll be randomly selecting a handful of lucky reviewers each month to receive a little thank you surprise for me in the mail. Thank you for all your support and encouragement as together we pursue building brands with purpose and intention. Until next time, I'm cheering you on from Waco.